I mean, we tried last time to start the first epistle of Corinthians, but actually I have to confess to you, I am in the moon of the Great Lent. I cannot move out of it. But anyways, and this is very important that your church puts to us the atmosphere of every period. And every occasion or period the church lives, it gives a certain topics or a certain goal. From this occasion or fasting or feasts or whatever. And as servants in the church, I have to be aware of the meals, the spiritual meals that the church prepare for us every certain occasion of this. That's why when Ram is there, give me a choice to choose either to continue on Corinthians first or to speak about something about the Great Lent, I chose the second. Because I gospel is gospel, Bible is fine. Bible is our constitution. Bible is our living. However, there is a Bible also in the Greek language. We can concentrate on the readings of the Bible and the Greek language and also the rites and also the readings of the Sundays during the Greek language. Historically, I'm sure that you know, but I'm trying to refresh your memory. Historically, the Great Lent was attached in the first days of Christianity, attached to the Epiphany. I don't know if you know that or not. It was next day of the Epiphany of our Lord Jesus Christ. They used to fast 40 days right after the Epiphany. Why? Because our Lord Jesus Christ, right away after his baptism, right away he was led by the Holy Spirit up the mount, fasting 40 days, offering himself or presenting himself to the devil to tempt him. So the church found in the beginning that it was appropriate to fast right away after the Epiphany for Lord Jesus Christ. But later, during the days of Abba Demetrius, the vine dresser, in the second century, the Lord enlightened his mind and he said that the Great Lent is related mainly to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and his passion. And as he started his mission with the temptation on the mount, he ended on the cross on the Mount of Golgotha. Same mount, here mount and there mount. So he said, he sent a letter to all the delegates of the churches all over the world. The bishops were, all of them were known as popes or patriarchs or bishops, suggesting to them to attach the Great Lent to the Holy Week. They all agreed and they asked the Church of Alexandria to determine the time of the resurrection, the time of the Easter, to be the first Sunday after the Passover of the Jews, so as not to either to celebrate with the Jews or to celebrate before them or celebrate at any day, whatever it comes. This is the history of the great land. That's why we have the 40 days end with the Holy Week, crowned with the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, prepared by another week called the preparation of the fast. That's why we have 55 days in our Greek land. As I said, every fast in the church has a certain goal. The main goal of the Great Lent is repentance. Why? Because this was the first mission of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing he said in St. Mark's Gospel, right away after he went down from the temptation, he said, "The kingdom of heaven is nigh. Now repent and believe in the gospel." This was the first verse our Lord Jesus Christ said as a start, the beginning in his mission, which ended by performance of the salvation on the cross. So that's why the goal of the church in these days is repentance. And that's why the church, right away after attaching the Greek Lent with the liturgy, not in the second century, because until the second century they were celebrating the Mass or the liturgy only on Sunday, because Sunday was the day of resurrection and the day of receiving the Holy Communion. Later, they started to pray any day of the week. But before that, initially, it was only on Sunday. And you can read that in the Acts of Apostles. In many occasions, they used to assemble at Saturday evening, starting to listen to the apostles, the doctrines of the apostles, directly mouth to ears. And then at the end, one of the apostles celebrate the liturgy and give the Holy Communion. Tawan, we can read that in Acts of Apostles, chapter 2, verses 42 to 44, about the structure of the liturgy from the beginning. And it was done only on Sunday. As I said, later the church started to have the liturgy on any day, especially in Egypt. After the Arabs invaded Egypt and came by Amr ibn al-As, led by Amr ibn al-As, establishing Islam, changing the weekend from Saturday, Sunday into Thursday and Friday, so most of the people were obliged to work on Sunday. So they kept Sunday in the same program of Sunday, but they started to celebrate on Friday. And then later said, okay, so long we pray on Friday, we can pray at any day. Then they distributed the whole year, or filled the whole year, with what we call Synaxarium. The Synaxarium is the book of the saints. Every day has an occasion. We celebrate the martyrdom of one of the saints, or the martyrs, or we celebrate the departure of one of the forefathers, either the defender of faith, or the patriarchs, or the saints who dedicated their lives to the Lord, or the monks, or nuns, or them. So on every day now, we have witness to the real faith, the living faith, through the martyrs and the saints, to prove that the gospel is not just a theoretical book or applied by our Lord Jesus Christ only, but everyone can live the gospel. That's why all the year, all the days of the year, it's filled with the saints and martyrs. And because every saint and martyr has a special biography in his life, so the church prepared all the readings to employ or to emphasize the life of this saint and or this martyr in what we call Katameros book. Katameros book means the reading, the book of readings during the liturgy every single day. That's why we have Katameros for every liturgy, read from this Katameros in every liturgy about the fitting saint or the martyrs or the occasion of the day. Because of that, we don't have only the normal readings, but we have the Great Lent, we have the Holy Week, we have the Pentecost Katameros, beside the normal Katameros. So we have a special one for the Great Lent, special one for the Holy Week, and special one for the Pentecost. Now back to the Great Lent. The Great Lent consists of 7 weeks, and the church has, as I said, goal for every one of us to follow and to live and to grow step by step by step by step until we are ready to celebrate the passions of our Lord Jesus Christ and to live with him and then to have the victorious day, which is the resurrection of our Lord, conquering sting of the death and step by the death on the death of sin. So that's why the readings of the 7 weeks are two parts. Part of them Sundays only, and the other part from Monday to Saturday. From Monday to Saturday, the church has a special program to read from the Old Testament all the prophecies that were fulfilled in the New Testament. If you come on Monday or Tuesday, Wednesday, until Friday, you will find what we call prophecies during the morning raising of incense, exactly after Ifnuti Nainan, or exactly before reading the gospel of the raising of incense. And these prophecies actually are selected not randomly. They are selected for a certain lesson, for a certain aim, for a certain goal. When you read the prophecy and then read the other readings, you can link between them. And this happens only in the Great Lent. The most common book that we read in the whole in the 7 weeks of the Great Lent is the book of Isaiah. It starts from Monday, first week, and ends on Friday, end of the Great Lent, the last Friday, what we call the Friday of the ending of the Great Lent. From the beginning to the end, we read about 75% from the book of Isaiah. Why? Because Isaiah, as if he lived in the New Testament, not in the Old Testament. And the Lord inspired to him a very accurate prophecies about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. From his birth, from a virgin, like Isaiah 7:14 or Isaiah 9:9, to find it, until the passion. And when you read, for example, chapter 53 from the book of Isaiah, you will find, or you will feel, as if Isaiah was kneeling or sitting under the cross, seeing what happened with the Lord on the cross, describing it in full detail. Isaiah 53, as well as Psalm 22. Son of David. These two readings, Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53, they, as if they lived the day of the cross and described it in full details. And I advise you, if you are not able to attend the liturgy during the week, which is most of you cannot, of course, because of your work or study, at least try to read these prophecies, trying to link them with the epistles and the gospels in the liturgy on the same day by day and week by week. Jump to Sunday. Sunday has a certain program for us. And this program, as I said, leads us from how the first word we hear is how in the pre-Lent Sunday until the raising of Lazarus on Saturday, which is the next to the end of the Great Lent. On the pre-Lent, pre-Sunday, pre-Lent on Sunday, or Sunday of the pre-Lent, we the church teaches us how, not how much, just how. Why how, not how much? Because I'm going to fast 55 days. If she speaks about how much, it will be a very long journey. But if it starts with how, just how, it will teach me how to pray, how to fast, and how to give alms. Appointing us to the Father in heaven, as if the relationship in the beginning of this great Lent between me and the Father directly. I pray secretly, and the Father in heaven who sees the secret will reward me openly. How to pray, how to fast, how to give alms. This is the first lesson. We are going to fast, but if we are going to fast, we have to learn that our fasting or prayer or giving or service, all of them are between me and God only. And this is for me, not for God. I do not satisfy God when I pray. I do not please his heart by my fasting. I do not feed the poor and needy and give them alms, that's to be accepted from Father. No. All of these, I do them for me, not for God. Yes, God will be pleased on me, yes. But I don't do that just to satisfy him. I need that. I need to pray. And I need to fast. And I need to give. I need When I come to the church, I don't come to the church to gladden his heart. No, I come to the church because I want to be filled with his Holy Spirit and the effort and the action of his Holy Spirit be more strong in me. That's why I come to the church. But I don't come to the church or pray or fast or just to satisfy him. This is a very important point. We have to know. That's why we fast, because it's not a commandment or heavy load puts on our shoulder. Then when we don't do that, we'll be punished or lose. No. We do that because we do enjoy that. We recognize the benefits of our fasting or praying or giving alms. This is the pre-Lent. The first Sunday of the Great Lent is why? Why? Why do you waste your time? Why do you waste your mind and heart and effort in perishing stuff? You know that this is a perishing stuff. You know, I get dressed now, but one day I will take just one dress and forever. When I leave this world, I eat and drink until it comes a time that I will not be in need of drink or drink. I marry, I got children, I get children, I work, I study. All of these are temporary. I don't need them anymore in heavens. So the Lord on the first Sunday says to me, why? Why do you waste your effort and time and heart and mind in these things? I will give it to you. Yes, well. Yes, live your life. Study. Marry. Have children. Have family. Have everything. But don't put your heart completely on these things. But more important to put is your spiritual life. Seek for the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. This is the first Sunday of the Great Lent. And the first Sunday of the Great Lent explains to us that the treasures here are put in risk. Any thief can steal it. And now you read about the hijacking on the online, how the people steal even online from an account to their account, millions of dollars in a second. So there is no security in what I have here on earth. Good to have, good to work, good to study, good to live, but not good to put all your heart on these things, forgetting what is eternal to you. Our eternal life will be with him, only with him. All of these we will leave. Either we know, either we want or we don't want. We will leave it. We will leave it. So the first is why? The first Sunday. The second, which was last Sunday, the Lord is coming, putting himself in the face of the temptation, putting himself on behalf of me, walking in the same way that the first Adam walked in. First Adam was tempted. Second Adam offered himself to Satan to be tempted, saying, if you are hesitated about your life here and you think that you will be weak Today, whatever I asked you to do, I give myself an example to you. I will give you, a perfect model how to conquer Satan, how to defeat Satan in the fighting of body, the foot, in the fighting of spirit, through yourself from the upper scene of the heikel, the altar, and worship me 1 second and take the whole world, body, soul, and spirit. And the Lord showed us how did he conquer the devil in these three temptations perfectly, not using his divinity, which is very important. The Lord did not use his divinity. He only used his own word, which is written in the Bible, in your hands, which means that we can conquer the devil by the power of his word in the Bible. But then, as the Lord was tempted, you're kidding. He is also able to help us when we are tempted. Fima, as he suffered of temptation and conquered, he is able also us to give us the victory in our temptation. Fima قد تألم المسيح مجربا قادرا هو أيضا أن يعين المجربين. He is able to help us. And then today, next Sunday, and the fifth Sunday will be the three degrees of sin and forgiveness. Sin and forgiveness. Today, the third, the prodigal son, came back to himself when he reached the very bad state after he left the father's house, taking his money, wasting and spending this money in bad stuff. And he went all the way. So this is the first step. If you are able to go back all the way, be sure that the Father is opening his arms to you to take you in his bosom. Whatever you did, he will not mention so long you come to him with all your heart. This is the meaning of today's reading. The prodigal son. Prodigal son means the bosoms of the Lord are open to me at any single moment in my life. He will never reject my repentance so long I repent from all my heart, not just from my mouth. And when I said to him, I have sinned to heavens and in your sight, if I don't say it from my heart, as if he looks at me and saying, Yani, when I say I have sinned to you and to heavens, if I say it by mouth, not by heart, really I don't feel it. The Lord doesn't need my words to know who I am. As if he is looking at me and say, Really? Really you are? Dominash, I know what's in your heart from inside. Don't say something you don't live. Don't repent from your mouth. Don't say just one word while you don't live it. Don't say I repent from all my heart while your heart is not completely with Him. If you lie to yourself, you will be not able to lie on Him, because He is not waiting for your words to say. He sees the bottom of my heart, the depths of my heart. He sees them. That's why here the repentance, before I say it by mouth, I have to feel it and to live it and to say it, really expressing my life and my goal also to repent. This is the prodigal son. He went all the way. If you are not able to go all the way, He is ready to walk to you most of the time, most of the way. And this is what happened with the Samaritan woman next week. With the Samaritan woman, the Lord went from the morning until noon, waiting at the well of Jacob for the Samaritan woman to catch her soul and to bring her back to the right track. And she went a small distance from her house to the well of Jacob. So the Lord either waits for you or approaches you, meets with you at the well of Jacob, trying to convince you. And this happens, ala fikra, with us. When we read something in the Bible, when we hear a sermon, when we meet someone, when we have a visitation from Abuna, from any of our servants or friends, to say something, this is visitation. Give me samuha ziyarat ni'ma, samuha visits of grace. And these visits of grace could happen like a place like Jacob's well, in the middle, not in the middle. Most of the way, the Lord is ready. Why? Because He wants to approach you, your heart. And this is what happened with the Samaritan woman. With the Samaritan woman, He starts offering her, asking her water, and then offering to her His water. Some discussion, she said, give me. When she said, give me, I want to take from you. He said, okay, come, confess. Confess. Go and call your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. Bravo. I accept your confession. You said the truth. Now I accept you. And He changed her from a sinner woman to a preacher. Went to the people, preaching to them to come. And she was the reason that the Samaritan, all the Samaritans, lived with Him 3 days. 3 days. Until they said, now we believe in Him. Only for your speech. But we saw Him. We touched Him. We believe in Him. Third level on the fifth Sunday, which is Bet Hasda, the paralytic of Bet Hasda. 38 years of Jesus, until He was not able even to move and to have help from anyone to throw Him in the lake or the pool to be pure and saved. For 38 years. But He is not able to go. But He has will in His mind. He wanted. If He gave up after 10 or 15 years, who could have asked His family to put Him in His home? And that's it. But He lived on hope. for 38 years. He lived on hope. Because when the Lord asked him, "Do you want to be healed?" he said, "I don't have anyone to help me. I don't have. I want, but I don't have." Then the Lord healed him. So as a sign of the hope that this sick man lived for 38 years, that he did not leave the pool of Bethesda. He was still there, hoping that one day he may be healed. And the healer, the true healer, came to him and healed him in a minute. So this is the third degree, or the third level. Prodigal son, all the way, Samaritan woman, most of the way, the paralytic man, no centimeter, he didn't move, but he wanted. These are the three levels of repentance. But the least of them, to have will to repent. If I don't have will to repent, I'm sorry to say, the Lord will not make anything for me, because he cannot force me. The Lord does not want me as a slave. He wants me as a son. He wants me having hope in him. These are the five readings of the Great Lent. After that comes the last Sunday in the Great Lent, which is what we call Hadith Tanasir, the Baptism Sunday. And this, blind, the man who was born blind, Hadith Tanasir, because we baptize all the people on that, because the baptism is enlightening, giving the true light to everyone by the baptism, like exactly what happened with the man who was born blind. And this means that the Lord is ready to do everything for me. This is the goal of the Great Lent. Please be sure to repent. And the repentance here also does not mean repent from killing, repent from commit adultery, repent from stealing. No, we don't have this level, God. Thank God, don't have that. But we have, your level is meeting with the grace of God in your heart. So you are not supposed to look at these sins, but you look in your heart from inside about every single word you may say. Every single bad thought comes to your mind. Every small offense you may cause to the others. Every laziness in the spiritual practicing, or dishonest in your service, all of these are sins. Sins are not only to stop the bad things, but sins also could be not to be honest in performing the good things, the good deeds, which lead us to be more close to the Lord. That's why in the Great Lent, every one of us is supposed to concentrate on these things. And if you have any weakness, if you have any weak points, and every one of us knows exactly what are the weak points in his life, be clever enough to say, "I am in the Great Lent." Tama nahna, we are going now almost to the Great Lent, but anyhow, Anyhow, we can, if we didn't start, we can start now. Every weak point you know that you have, try to work on it during the Great Lent to get rid of it. Every laziness in prayer, every dishonesty in the Holy Bible, every inappropriate way of serving, even in my class, as a good model, or with my children, when I visit them, when I contact them, when I pray for them, when I prepare my lesson to them to be useful, not to fill their mind, but to fill their heart with their love to God, and my heart as well. We need that. Work on this during the Great Lent, and let it be a good chance for you to grow spiritually until you enter or approach the Holy Week, not to live day by day, but to live hour by hour. In the Holy Week, the rhythm is the speed back to not day by day as the Great Lent, it's hour by hour. And in the Great in the Holy Week, we have another program, which is 10 hours a day, 5 in the morning and 5 in the evening. When we come to that, God willing, we may have a chance to explain it in full detail with you as a servant. This is the Great Lent, and this is how to pray and why to concentrate on them and what to do to repent from your heart and to grow spiritually until you become one with the Father. ربنا يسوع المسيح, our Lord Jesus Christ, asked the Father in John 17 in his prayer, saying, let them be with me, one with you as I am one with you also. As the Father is one with the Son, so he wants us also to be one with them, one with them. Glory be to God forever. Amen. Do you have any question? Any question? Thank you very much.